All right, get ready to dive deep because today it's all about Greek mythology. We've got our articles and websites fired up, and we're going way past just, you know, the names of all the gods and goddesses.
It's about understanding their stories.
Yeah. It's like creation myths,
family drama,
epic battles, the whole thing, Olympian style.
It's really like a crash course in ancient wisdom.
But with a modern twist.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So we're mainly diving into this piece, The Ancient Wisdom, a brief exploration of Greek mythology from the Spiritual Seek website. Fair warning.
Yeah.
This deep dive might make you want to book a flight to Greece.
Well, let's start at the very beginning.
Okay.
Even before the gods and the titans, before the heroes,
mm-hmm.
there was chaos.
Okay, so not just the kind I make when I try to bake,
mm-hmm.
like primordial soup kind of chaos.
Precisely. It's described as this void, a state of pure potentiality from which everything emerged.
I see.
And from this chaos, we get Gaia, Mother Earth, and Uranus, the sky.
Okay, so the original power couple?
You could say that.
But I'm guessing things got a little complicated.
To say the least. Uranus was afraid. He feared his children, the Titans, would overthrow him, so he decided to imprison them.
Oh, wow.
But Gaia, being Mother Earth, she wasn't going to let that just stand. She convinces her son, Cronos, to castrate his own father and take over.
Wow. Talk about a family feud. So Cronos takes over, but he wasn't exactly father of the year material either, was he? Didn't he, like, have a bit of a prophecy problem?
He did indeed. He feared a similar fate to his father, so Cronos swallowed each of his children.
As they were born.
Well, except for one.
Oh, there's always one.
That's right. Until Rhea, his wife, tricked him. She gave Cronos a stone instead of baby Zeus.
So sneaky.
This is a clever plan.
So where'd Zeus end up while all this baby eating was going on?
Rhea hid Zeus on the island of Crete, safe and sound.
Yes.
He grew up and eventually led the charge against Cronos and the Titans. This epic battle is known as the Titanomachy.
Okay, the Titanomachy. And I mean, Zeus had some serious backup in this fight, right? This is where the Cyclops come in.
It is. The Cyclops sided with Zeus and forged him his legendary Thunderbolts.
Oh, the Thunderbolts.
And alongside the Hecatoncheirs, they helped overthrow the Titans.
Okay, so new era. The reign of the Olympian gods.
Exactly.
So Zeus wins, divides the world with his brother. Zeus gets the sky, Poseidon the seas, Hades the underworld. But then things get interesting, right? Because this all-powerful god, Zeus, had a bit of a reputation.
That's one way to put it.
So what was it?
Well, let's just say his love life was anything but divine.
I mean, he was king of the gods, so.
That's right.
He was probably more powerful than a Tinder profile.
Ah.
That's a lot of godly offspring running around.
Exactly. He fathered a whole pantheon of children. He even transformed himself into different forms to, shall we say, woo his lovers.
Really? Like what?
Well, there's the famous story about him turning into a swan to seduce Leda.
A swan. That's a bold move. Mm. But what does this tell us about how the ancient Greeks thought about their gods?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're talking about Zeus, the most powerful figure in their mythology.
Right.
Well, quite the player.
It reveals something fascinating about how they saw the world. The gods weren't these distant, perfect beings. They had flaws.
They had passions.
Even a sense of humor.
So even Zeus, despite all his power and position, was still fallible. It kind of makes him, well, relatable.
Precisely. It made them more human, even in their divinity.
And maybe even more, I don't know, worthy of worship because of their flaws.
It's an interesting thought.
Okay, so let's move on to another powerful god, Zeus's brother, Poseidon. Now, most people think storms and earthquakes.
Right.
But he had kind of a softer side too, didn't he?
He did.
Like he was a protector of sailors?
Yes, he was.
But also horses. That's kind of a curveball.
It might seem strange, but remember, horses were so valuable in ancient Greece.
I guess so.
And when you think about Poseidon's domain, the sea, which is always in motion.
Always changing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes sense he'd be associated with these creatures, known for their strength and speed.
Okay, I can see the connection there. But speaking of connections, we can't talk about Poseidon without Odysseus and that whole Cyclops situation.
Mm, the infamous Polyphemus.
Right.
But remember, Polyphemus wasn't just any Cyclops. He was Poseidon's son.
That's right. And Odysseus, in this moment of sheer brilliance, tricks Polyphemus by calling himself Nobody.
Yes.
And then he blinds the Cyclops to escape the cave.
A daring move.
I can only imagine how Poseidon felt about that.
He was furious. What Odysseus did wasn't just about, you know, being clever or survival. It was a violation of hospitality, something deeply sacred to the ancient Greeks.
Oh, I see.
So Poseidon made Odysseus pay the price.
Oh, he did.
He cursed him. Odysseus had to wander the seas for 10 years, delaying his return home to Ithaca.
Wow, 10 years. That's a long time.
It is a powerful reminder that actions have consequences, even for heroes.
Yeah, it makes you think about how important hospitality still is, even today, right?
Yeah.
Especially with how interconnected the world is now.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's move on from the depths of the sea to the wild revelry of Dionysus. He's often associated with, like, wine and parties, but there's this much deeper, almost primal side to him, too, wouldn't you say?
There is. He represents this raw, untamed aspect of human nature.
So more than just grapes and good times?
Much more.
There's a darker element to it.
Precisely. Even his birth story is unusual.
Okay, tell me more.
Born from Zeus's thigh after his mother Semele died. Hera had a hand in that, of course. But Dionysus embodies that part of ourselves we sometimes try to control or deny.
Oh, interesting. So he's a reminder that those primal urges are part of who we are. And maybe trying to suppress them completely, that's not the answer.
Perhaps Dionysus challenges us to find a balance between order and chaos.
Yeah, the rational and the instinctive.
Exactly.
Food for thought. Okay, let's shift gears from the wildness of Dionysus to the radiant Apollo. He seems like the total opposite, right?
In some ways.
God of music, healing, prophecy. But he had a dark side too, right?
He did. Apollo embodies this fascinating duality that's present throughout Greek mythology, this light and shadow, right? Creation and destruction. He brings healing.
Inspiration.
Yes. But he can also unleash plagues.
So it's like the sun itself, which can nurture, but can also scorch.
That's a good way to put it. But how did Apollo become this multifaceted god? Well, one defining moment is when he slays the python.
The python.
A monstrous serpent that guarded the Oracle of Delphi.
Oh, right. The Oracle of Delphi.
By defeating it, Apollo took control of prophecy.
So he conquered the python, and basically he conquered the realm of prophecy.
You could say that. It's also a story about transformation. By defeating chaos, Apollo brought order, becoming this source of wisdom and guidance.
That makes sense. And speaking of transformation, our sources talk about some pretty tragic love stories in Apollo's life. Can you tell me more about those?
Apollo's love life, unfortunately, was filled with unrequited love and loss.
Oh, no.
There's the story of Daphne, because she was transformed into a laurel tree to escape his advances.
To escape Apollo? Wow.
And then there's Hyacinthus. He tragically died and was turned into a flower.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of heartbreak for the god of music and poetry.
It is. But these stories, they're more than just romantic tragedies.
What else are they about then?
They speak to the power of transformation. Even in loss, there can be beauty and growth.
That's a nice way to think about it. And maybe they remind us that even gods can experience pain. You know, the pain of unrequited love.
It adds another layer to this seemingly perfect god.
Okay, let's move on to another interesting pair. A powerful mother-daughter duo, Metis and Athena.
Now, they are like the embodiment of brain power in Greek mythology.
Right, the ultimate power couple, brain-wise.
You could say that. Metis, the goddess of wisdom and cunning, she was absolutely crucial in Zeus's victory over Kronos.
Ah, so she was the brains behind the operation.
She was known for her strategic mind and her ability to outwit even the most powerful beings.
Yeah, and her daughter, Athena, she inherited that intellect.
Plus some. Athena's birth story is incredible.
Tell me about it.
After Zeus swallowed Metis, who was pregnant with Athena at the time, she continued to advise him, but from within.
What? That's wild.
And eventually, Athena was born, fully grown and armed from Zeus's head.
Talk about a dramatic entrance.
It was quite the arrival.
But she wasn't just a warrior goddess, was she?
No. She became the goddess of wisdom, war, and crafts, known for her strategic mind and protecting cities and heroes.
Okay, a lot of responsibility.
She had a lot on her plate, but not everyone was a fan of her wisdom, you know?
Oh.
She had a bit of a run-in with a weaver named Arachne.
Arachne, I've heard that name. Refresh my memory.
Well, the story of Arachne is a warning about pride.
Okay.
Arachne, boasting about her amazing weaving skills, challenged Athena to a contest.
Bad idea.
You could say that.
What happened?
Arachne's tapestry was stunning, but it showed the gods, well, not in their best light, let's just say.
Highlighting their flaws.
Yes. While Athena's tapestry showed what happens when you defy the gods.
Okay, I can see where this is going. Arachne's pride, it got the better of her.
It did. Enraged by the disrespect, Athena turned her into a spider, condemned to weave for eternity.
Wow, what a punishment.
Harsh, but a stark reminder of the power of the gods.
It's a reminder that even the most talented mortals should be wary of challenging the gods.
And should strive for humility.
Exactly. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here in this first part of our dive into Greek mythology. And this is really just the beginning. We've got a whole pantheon of gods and goddesses and heroes and monsters waiting to be explored.
There's much more to come, so stay tuned. Welcome back to our deep dive into Greek mythology. So far, we've seen how the universe was born, witnessed epic power struggles, and even gotten a glimpse into, let's say, the complicated love life of Zeus.
And we've seen how these myths reflect not just the Greeks' understanding of the world, but also their values. Hospitality, respect for the gods, and the consequences of challenging those in power.
And today, we're going to continue our exploration, venturing into the underworld and encountering some intriguing figures, you know? Figures who might just challenge your preconceived notions about, well, good and evil, love and loss, and even the changing seasons.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's talk about Hades. I think most people picture him as this dark, brooding figure.
Ruling over the underworld.
Yeah, like with a pitchfork.
Mm.
But our sources suggest there's more to him than meets the eye, right?
That's right. Hades, he often gets a bad rap. He's not necessarily evil. He's more bound by duty. Cosmic law, you know.
Oh, I see.
He's got to maintain order in the underworld, ensuring that, well, that the souls of the dead are judged fairly.
So more of a stern administrator than a malevolent spirit.
Precisely. He was known for being just.
Impartial.
Yes. It's important to remember, you know, ancient cultures often had very different ideas about death and the afterlife compared to our own.
For example?
The story of Hades and Persephone.
His wife.
Yes, his wife. It's a famous myth.
It is.
It touches on love, loss, the cycle of the seasons. What do you think about their unusual relationship?
Yeah, unusual is one way to put it. So Persephone, she was the daughter of Demeter, right? The goddess of agriculture.
Yes. And the myth says that Hades abducted Persephone and took her to the underworld.
Abducted. That doesn't sound very romantic. Was it truly a love story or something more sinister?
The myths are complex, you know. Some portray it as love at first sight, others as a forced abduction. But no matter what, Persephone's disappearance, well, it caused Demeter, her mother, immense grief.
Of course.
She refused to allow anything to grow on Earth until her daughter was returned.
So the world was plunged into famine because of this. That's pretty high-stakes family drama.
It was a crisis, definitely. Zeus had to step in and negotiate a deal
between
Hades and Demeter. So Persephone would spend part of the year in the underworld with Hades and the rest of the year on Earth with her mother.
So not exactly a happily ever after, but at least, you know, a compromise.
A compromise?
And it's interesting how this myth, it explains the changing seasons, right?
Exactly. When Persephone is with Hades, the land is barren.
Mirroring Demeter's grief.
Yes. And when she returns to her mother, everything comes back to life.
It's a really poetic way to look at the cycle of death and rebirth.
Both in nature.
And in our own lives.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on from the underworld to, let's talk about Hera. Zeus's wife. She's often shown as this, you know, queen of the gods.
Right.
But also, she's often portrayed as, well, quite jealous and vengeful.
I mean, given Zeus's track record, can you blame her?
Not really. But Hera, she's more than just, you know, the jealous wife.
Right. Hera was a complex figure, definitely. She was the goddess of marriage, women, childbirth, family.
So she represented more than just marital strife.
Absolutely.
So what was her role in the Olympian family then? Beyond just being Zeus's wife.
She was powerful, presiding over the sanctity of marriage vows, protecting married women. She also shaped the destinies of gods and mortals, using her, well, her cunning and influence to impact events.
So she wasn't just sitting around fuming. She was a force to be reckoned with.
Precisely.
Hera's story, it kind of reminds us that even those in positions of power, they still experience really complex human emotions, right?
They do.
She was capable of great love and loyalty.
That also...
Fierce anger and a desire for revenge.
That's right.
It makes her a compelling, if sometimes misunderstood, figure. It makes you wonder, you know, if she'd had a different reputation, if Zeus had been, if he'd been a bit more faithful. Okay, now from powerful goddesses to the god of fire in the forge, Hephaestus. Now, his birth story, it's pretty unique, isn't it?
It is. Some myths say he was born without a father, a product of Hera's divine power.
Okay.
Others say Zeus was his father, but Hera was, she was horrified by his deformity.
Oh, wow.
And cast him out of Olympus.
That's rough. Rejected by his own mother because of his appearance?
It was a harsh beginning.
So what happened to him after being, you know, literally thrown out of heaven?
Despite this rough start, he eventually returned to Olympus.
He did.
He did. He became the blacksmith of the gods, crafting weapons.
Archer? So he turned this, like, this pain and rejection into something creative.
Powerful, too.
Yeah, I'm curious. What were some of his most famous creations?
Well, he forged Zeus's thunderbolts.
Oh.
Achilles's armor.
Wow.
Even Pandora.
The first woman.
Yes.
It's a real testament to his resilience.
To his strength.
He didn't let his challenges define him. He used them to, well, I guess, to fuel his creativity.
His story shows the power of art, of craftsmanship. Even in adversity, we can find strength.
Purpose.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move from the gods to the heroes. Now, Greek mythology, it's full of these epic tales of bravery, adventure, cunning.
It is.
Where do we even begin?
Well, we have to start with Heracles.
Right.
Known for his incredible strength and his legendary 12 labors.
Oh, Heracles. Slaying monsters and, you know, performing superhuman feats.
Exactly.
But those labors, if I remember correctly, they weren't just for glory, right?
No, they were acts of atonement.
For what?
He had to perform them to cleanse himself of a terrible crime. He killed his own family.
He did.
In a fit of madness brought on by Hera.
Wow. So even the strongest hero can be vulnerable.
To forces beyond his control.
It's a good reminder that even heroes have flaws and that redemption is possible.
Even after terrible mistakes.
Okay, so what were some of the challenges he faced in these labors?
Each labor was a test, testing his strength.
Courage.
And cunning.
Okay.
He had to slay the Nemean lion.
Capture Cerberus, the three-headed hound of Hades.
Oh, yes, that one too.
That sounds impossible.
It wasn't just about brute strength.
He had to use his brain.
Outwit monsters.
Navigate treacherous landscapes.
He had to rely on both his physical prowess and his intelligence.
So Heracles was really a symbol of human potential, right?
You could say it.
Capable of great things, but still susceptible to flaws and failures. What about other heroes? Our sources mention Theseus and his confrontation with the Minotaur. Can you refresh my memory on that myth?
Theseus, he volunteered to be one of the Athenian youths sent as tribute to King Minos of Crete. Minos demanded sacrifices to the Minotaur.
Okay, the Minotaur.
Hmm.
Half man, half bull, trapped in a maze designed to keep it imprisoned.
Right.
Not a fun vacation spot. How did Theseus escape that nightmare?
Well, with the help of Ariadne, who was King Minos' daughter,
right.
Theseus used a ball of thread to navigate the labyrinth, and he eventually slayed the Minotaur.
Freeing Athens from this monstrous tribute.
Exactly.
So it was a combination of courage, cleverness, and a little bit of romance that saved the day. What a story.
It is a good one.
It's like a metaphor, you know? For confronting your fears, finding creative solutions to problems that seem impossible.
Theseus reminds us that even when faced with overwhelming odds,
there's hope.
And sometimes the simplest solutions are the most effective.
Okay, and of course, we can't talk about Greek heroes without mentioning Odysseus.
Yes.
His journey home after the Trojan War, told in Homer's Odyssey, it's the ultimate adventure story.
It is. Odysseus, he embodies resilience, resourcefulness, and maybe most importantly, cunning.
Right.
He faced storms, monsters, the wrath of the gods, even the temptation of beautiful sirens.
He went through a lot.
But he never gave up hope of returning home to his wife and son.
Talk about a test of patience. 10 years wandering the seas. It's amazing he didn't just, you know, give up and set up shop on some exotic island.
But that's what makes him such a compelling hero.
I guess so.
Incredible adversity, but he never lost sight of his goal. He used his intellect, his charm, his adaptability.
Same determination.
And ultimately, he made it home.
His story is a testament to the power of perseverance, isn't it?
It is. It's also a reminder that the journey itself is just as important as the destination.
That the journey shapes us.
The trials.
And the triumphs.
Beautifully put. Odysseus's journey is a metaphor for life itself.
With all the unexpected challenges, moments of joy and despair.
And ultimately, it's a testament to that enduring human spirit.
It is. Now, there are so many other heroes in Greek mythology.
Mm.
Jason, Perseus, Atalanta.
So many.
Each hero embodies different virtues.
Faces unique challenges.
And they all add to the richness of these ancient tales.
They do. It's amazing how these myths, you know, despite all the fantastical elements, they still offer these profound insights into the human experience. They speak to these universal themes that that resonate across cultures and throughout time.
Yeah, it's like we're peeking through a window into the past and seeing ourselves reflected back.
Exactly. Stay with us for part three as we continue our dive into Greek mythology. We'll be exploring some of the most enduring themes and symbols woven into these ancient tales, uncovering the hidden wisdom that, the wisdom that continues to captivate and inspire us centuries later.
Welcome back to our Greek mythology deep dive. We've gone from the birth of the cosmos to the underworld, met gods and goddesses with, you know, very human problems, and explored heroes whose journeys are full of epic wins.
And relatable flaws.
Yeah, exactly. So in this final part, we're going even deeper, you know.
Yeah.
Beyond the surface of these myths,
right,
we're diving into the themes and the symbols they offer. It's like cracking open a fortune cookie. But instead of a vague prediction, we get this timeless wisdom about life, fate.
What it means to be human.
Exactly. So one of the biggest themes that jumps out from all these stories is, it's this tension between fate and free will, right?
Absolutely.
You've got prophecies, curses, divine intervention. It all feels like a cosmic game of chess with the gods calling the shots.
It does.
Like Oedipus, you know, destined to kill his father and marry his mother.
No matter what he did.
Right. So it makes you wonder, if fate is so powerful, do our choices even matter?
It's a question the Greeks wrestled with, too.
Yeah.
But even with fate, they still believed in individual agency.
So it's not a simple case of everything is predetermined.
Not exactly. The myths show us that, well, you might not control the hand you're dealt, but you can choose how you play it.
So it's more like a dance between destiny and the power of choice.
I like that, a dance.
It makes those epic hero journeys even more meaningful, you know? They weren't just following some script.
They were choosing courage.
Resilience.
In the face of challenges.
Right. Which brings us to another big theme. Transformation. Gods turning into animals. Nymphs becoming trees. Humans becoming constellations. It's everywhere.
It's all over these stories.
It's like the ancient Greeks were obsessed with makeovers.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a deeper meaning to all this shape-shifting, right?
Of course. Transformation, it represents this the cyclical nature of life.
Okay.
That change is inevitable.
Nothing stays the same.
Exactly.
So it's not just about the outward changes, right? It's about the inner transformations we go through.
Yes, exactly.
Facing our fears, overcoming obstacles.
And coming out changed by the experience.
Right. It's a reminder that growth and evolution are part of being human.
We're all constantly becoming.
Shedding old skins, embracing new forms.
Yeah. I like that.
It's comforting, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in a world that often feels chaotic and unpredictable.
It can feel that way.
Even when things are falling apart.
There's potential for something new to emerge.
Yeah, exactly. And this ties into another key element. This duality of human nature.
The light and shadow within us all.
Right. The Greek gods and goddesses, they aren't these perfect beings. They're flawed, passionate.
Capable of great love.
But also, you know, terrible acts of revenge.
It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. Zeus, you know, he was all about justice and order. He had more affairs than I've had cups of coffee this week. And Hera, the goddess of marriage, she was notoriously jealous and vengeful.
The Greeks understood that humans, we are complex creatures.
Capable of both amazing
and awful things.
Right. It's a humbling thought.
It is.
Makes you think twice about judging others too harshly.
We all have the potential for good and evil within us.
Yeah, and it encourages us to embrace our own complexities.
Absolutely.
To acknowledge our strengths and our weaknesses, and to, I guess, strive to become more whole.
More balanced individuals.
Exactly. Okay, so we've talked about fate, transformation, this duality of human nature. What other big takeaways are hidden in these myths?
Well, the importance of hospitality really stands out. The Greeks, they considered welcoming strangers.
Offering them food and shelter.
A sacred duty. And violating that, well, it could have serious consequences.
Like, you know, the story of Odysseus and Polyphemus. After he blinds the Cyclops, he reveals his true name, bringing Poseidon's wrath down on him.
Delaying his journey home.
Exactly. So hospitality wasn't just good manners. It was a reflection of your character, your moral compass.
It's a good reminder that kindness and generosity, they are timeless virtues.
Treating others with respect, even those different from us, it's essential for a just and harmonious society, right? Something we could all use a little more of these days.
Couldn't agree more. Now, beyond these themes, there are also powerful symbols woven into Greek mythology.
Like Theseus.
The labyrinth.
Yeah, like Theseus navigating that maze to slay the Minotaur.
It's a classic image. and it symbolizes life's complexities.
The challenges we face.
The twists and turns of fate.
And the search for meaning.
It reminds us that the path isn't always straightforward.
But the journey itself can be transformative.
Exactly.
And speaking of journeys, the sea. It plays a huge role in so many of these stories. It's a source of danger, a path to adventure.
Just like life itself.
Think of Odysseus again, his voyage home.
A constant battle.
Against the elements, monsters.
His own desires.
It reflects that inner turmoil we all experience.
Those times when we're tossed about by emotions.
Uncertainty.
The sea is this great metaphor for the ups and downs of life, those moments of calm, and those times when we feel like we're drowning in chaos.
Right, but even in those stormy seas, there's hope.
Yeah.
Right? Like the olive tree, a symbol of peace, prosperity, and wisdom.
Associated with Athena.
And it represents the triumph of reason over chaos.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
That the olive tree, a symbol of peace, is linked to Athena, a warrior goddess. It's like true strength isn't just about power, it's about wisdom, strategy.
Creating harmony.
And resilience, too. The olive tree, it can thrive in such harsh conditions.
It's a reminder that even in adversity,
there's hope.
That with patience and perseverance, we can overcome challenges and create a more, well, a more peaceful and prosperous future.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Greek mythology, what's the biggest takeaway for our listeners? Why should these stories still matter to us today?
These myths, they offer this timeless wisdom that goes beyond, you know, beyond time and culture. They remind us that, you know, despite all the differences between then and now.
We share a common humanity.
We do. The same questions, you know, about life and death.
Good and evil.
Fate and free will. They still challenge us, inspire us.
It's like these stories are a bridge connecting us to our ancestors, showing us that we're part of something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something much bigger than ourselves. And by understanding these stories,
we gain a deeper understanding of ourselves
and the world around us.
They offer guidance, wisdom, and they remind us that even in the face of chaos and uncertainty, there's always the potential for growth,
transformation,
and the triumph of the human spirit.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. Thanks for joining us on this journey into Greek mythology. We hope you've gain some new insights.
Sparked your curiosity.
And maybe even felt the connection to those ancient storytellers who, you know, thousands of years ago were wrestling with the same questions we're still grappling with today.